Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning. We're experiencing technical difficulties. Please stand by. Good morning, lovely people out in the Twitterverse. We're trying to get Jen on the call. We got all kinds of craziness going on. So we know you guys haven't been able to hear us. We're trying to determine who exactly is at fault. So we're threatening quite a few people out there. We've threatened Skype. We've threatened BT. See who's going to fix this for us. So while we wait to see if Ginger can get in. Oh, man, the fun never stops on this train. Happy Friday to you all out there. Ah, there is my lovely Ginger.
Can you hear me?
Ginger, did you make it? I can hear you now. Oh,
yay!
God. The fun never stops on this train. Can you believe it? I was just telling the people out there, whoever's listening, if they can hear us, because I'm hearing that. Now I'm hearing the static. I couldn't hear it before.
Yeah.
I'm trying to figure out who this is. I told them we have numerous amounts of people that we're threatening with some type of violence.
Yeah, I don't know who it is.
I don't know.
Because, see, and that's so weird that none of y'all were hearing it. But last night while we were on air, I was totally hearing it. And when I go back and listen, and when I go back and listen to the show, I definitely hear it. It's there.
Oh, I don't doubt that you hear it. It does mean you're crazy. It just means the rest of us haven't joined the ranks. So you can't hear anything.
I don't know. I'm wondering, did you get the new updated Skype the other day?
I believe I did, and just as I was going to, remember I told you I was going to use my cell phone, and as soon as I logged into Skype on my cell phone, I started trying to update, and every time I'd stop it, it'd start up again. It's like, I don't know, Microsoft, I don't know what you're doing to our Skype, but stop it. Just stop it. It was fine. It was working fine. Firefox, you're another one that's screwing up some stuff. It could also be that. So numerous amounts of things may be working. They just want to try to hold the gamer chicks down. Yeah, they want to hold the gamer chicks down. That's what it is.
Cannot hold us down, baby. Not with duct tape, not with rope, not with chains or handcuffs or hot oil or. Wait a minute.
We just have the handcuffs. I'm sorry, I lost track.
I know, right?
You said my favorite word, handcuffs. Okay, so. We do need to warn you guys today, the show is only 45 minutes. We have something very important to start preparing for. One of them be Guns of Icarus for next weekend. Is it next weekend? Wait a minute. No, we're the 24th. We're not the next weekend.
Yeah, the 24th, yeah. I know, because somebody was like, hey, you want to go camping? No, not that weekend. No, I don't.
I believe I have some Guns of Icarus to deal with.
Yes, exactly what I said. I was like, no.
That's me. People are like, you want to go out? I got to ask that. I was like, I can't go. What weekend are you trying to go? Mm-mm, I can't go. It's a game. It'll be there. No, honey, not this way.
No, it won't. No, 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 not so much. Not so much, no.
Not
I cannot wait. It's going to be so much fun to see. And, you know,
I'm hoping to have a new PC by then is what I'm hoping. A brand new, fresh, delicious, untainted computer by then. Y'all keep y'all fingers crossed.
Sexy.
Yes, see how I had to say it slow because it was sexy. Just thinking about it is sexy.
I know when the other one started going out the other day, I was like, I wonder what this one's going to, because that'll give me a perfect excuse to update. Yeah, I know. I mean, how many people get excited because their computers break?
Well, I wasn't excited that mine broke because, unfortunately, the one that I'm looking at grabbing is not going to be on par with the one I have. I really did. I was always joking that I built a supercomputer. I did. It was way ahead of the specs that needed, and it's still in the scope of specs needed. But the one I'm getting, I hope to get, will have a Windows 7 on it at least. This is still running XP, sadly.
Wow.
Anyway. I know, I know. I was not getting Vista after it came on one of the laptops. You see, if you don't hear any static today, that could be the problem.
Yeah, Vista really wasn't that bad. But
I hate Vista. I hated it.
I am loving 7. I've had no issues since I installed 7.
The second I turned on the laptop with the Vista, it started saying, oh, I'm sorry, I can't let you have this because it needs a such and such driver. And whatever that star thing that it needed. God.
Yes. I had to reinstall 7 on that other computer yesterday, and it was up and running in like 30 minutes flat. And
see,
no issues.
See?
Everything works.
When Microsoft gets it right, they get it right. So the next operating, you know, Windows 8 is going to be horrible. Just skip it.
Yeah, pretty much.
Skip it. Don't touch it.
Pretty much. And haven't we already heard that they're already working on Windows 8? It's supposed to be out in December?
It's due out this year. So I'm not touching it. That's why I got to hurry up and get a new computer now so that I can get 7 so I can at least be up to the, you know, that one.
Yeah.
Every other operator, every other time they make a new one, it's horrible. Every time. ME 2000, which is the same thing in a weird way. Then you got your Windows. It's going to be horrible. It's going to be horrible. Vista.
I don't know.
When they give it a name, have you noticed, when it has a number in the name, have you noticed that it does a whole lot better? With the exception of XP?
Yeah.
Did we lose you?
No. I had to think about it. I was thinking back. Yeah, I guess you're right.
With the exception
because
of XP.
I remember 98, Windows 98, if anybody remembers, really wasn't that bad. Except, you know.
Stable, delicious.
Yes.
Morning to you, Joe. By the way, good morning, Joe.
Good morning.
All right, we got to.
You're Joe.
Yeah, we love you, Joe. I sent you something in Farm Kingdom, I think, last night. It was by accident, but it is a present. I wasn't trying to open Farm Kingdom, but once I did, I saw his name, and I said, I will send him some goodies, some in-game goodies.
Aww.
We got to do some news, Ginger. We got to do news.
Can I have first? Sure, sure, go first.
Well, apparently, you fans out there are now jumping on Bethesda regarding Elder Scrolls Online. Bethesda isn't developing the MMO, but fans are expressing concerns that the Elder Scrolls will never be the same. Elder Scrolls 5 Skyrim was one of the top-rated and top-selling games of last year, but lurking in the background all along has been the rumored Elder Scrolls MMO, with the game finally confirmed that it'll be in development by ZeniMax Online Studios, not Bethesda. Longtime fans of the franchise are expressing concern that the MMO will alter the future of the series, and Bethesda has had to manage the community reaction very carefully. Many of the comments on the official Bethesda blog were filled with negativity. At the heart of the matter is that Skyrim and the Elder Scrolls series have shown that massively single-player can still do quite well in this industry, and fans are worried that ZeniMax will decide that its top franchise will simply have to be online going forward. Excuse me. One of the comments on the forums named Darkstorm, who says, way to go and completely missing the key theme of a game series. Yep, a series renowned for making the player feel like the solitary hero in a sprawling, immersive world, definitely needs a new game where the player is one of those thousands of heroes running, jumping, bunny hopping across the land, shouting, noobs, I am the beep. please say that this won't indefinitely postpone the release of the next real-time TES title, the way World of Warcraft has indefinitely put Warcraft 4 on hold. You know what? World of Warcraft ruined the Warcraft series, honestly. It did. There was no,
yeah.
And people don't even remember that there was a Warcraft before. And part of the reason why I don't play World of Warcraft is because I really loved the real-time strategy aspect of it. Adored it. I would one of the first games I played. In fact, here in Houston, this particular store franchise does not exist anymore, but it was called Media Play. They were one of the first ones to try to do the whole coffee shop, food, and everything in one place, and then sell computer peripherals, parts, computers, period, games, and everything. One of the first ones to do it. And I would go in there and get myself an espresso and park myself at a chair in front of one of their computers, and I would play Warcraft for hours. And it was not my house, and I dared anybody to tell me to move. And after World of Warcraft came out, no more Warcrafts. None. Blizzard, I'm very upset with you about that because I loved playing that. I loved it. So they may be onto something. I can say this. I won't be playing Elder Scrolls Online, the MMO. I like the idea, like the player saying that it's a sprawling, single-player world that you are the lone hero in. What I would have liked Bethesda is the ability to co-op. Maybe with up to five other people, I would like to have brought Ginger into my world, or Ginger Snow and Blaster, and we all kind of play together. And we don't even have to be in the same area at the same time. I would like for us to just be kind of playing. That would have been a better option to me than creating MMO. Those are the only people not the only people I like. I have a couple of other friends on my list that I like playing co-op games with, so that would have been nice. Maybe up to 6 to 8 of your friends can come into your world, or maybe you could have created an alternate world that we could all play around in together, and then your other game was affected by us playing together in that world. Something, but anything but this, I have to agree there. It kind of ruins the feeling.
Can you hear the thunder in my background?
No. Because I'm on the phone today, people. I had to call in like I was doing a conference call, so I can't hear anything. That's the cool thing about of Skype and VoIP is that it is so HD, you usually can hear everything. I can hear Ginger when she breathes, even when she's muted.
I know.
Hear her heart beating. You can hear your heartbeat.
Rawr. Rawr. She's totally a vampire, but she doesn't sparkle, so it's okay.
Let's hope I don't sparkle. When we get into, what is it? Which one is the vampire? Salem. Yeah, let's hope I don't sparkle.
No, Salem's the witch.
Oh, wait a minute. God, what am I saying? Salem, you are right. Salem's the witch. I mean, Masquerade. Is it Masquerade Online?
Masquerade. Masquerade Online, yeah.
Yeah, that one. Let's hope I'm not a sparkly vampire girl. Yo, girl, Ginger. Go.
It is my go. It is my go. All right. What have I got? I have got a fight, is what I've got. Notch criticizes EA's indie bundle on Steam. While publisher Electronic Arts has taken its fair share of chances on new properties from small independent studios, one would never dare to call them indie. That would be like calling Walmart a mom-and-pop operation. But a recent sale on Steam featuring several EA-published games has agitated at least one high-profile developer and has certainly made some gamers look up the definition of irony to see if EA's logo might be pictured somewhere nearby.
Oh, that's
low. Electronic Arts recently announced the release of an indie bundle on Steam that includes such games as Deathspank, Deathspank Songs of Virtue, Gatling Gears, Shank, Shank 2, and Warp. Mojang founder and Minecraft creator Marcus Persson took issue with EA's claim of an indie bundle. On Twitter earlier this week, he said, EA releases an indie bundle? That's not how that works, EA. Stop attempting to ruin everything, you bunch of cynical bastards. Indies are saving gaming. EA is methodically destroying it. Persson is certainly not taking credit for single-handedly saving the game industry either, and quickly pointed out in a follow-up tweet, FYI, I don't even call Mojang indie anymore. Van Bleer is indie. Polytron is indie. Steven, Ed, Terry, Derek, Tommy, and Chris are indie. The oddest part of the whole story is that EA decided to do a bundle on Steam instead of Origin, its own digital distribution platform. It should also be noted that all of the aforementioned games in EA's bundle are great and worth owning. People are simply hung up on the semantics related to it. Notch, I agree. I do. I'm sorry. EA, you kill everything, EA. You break everything.
I'm finding it shocking that they're on Steam after they went through and yanked BFE off to like, put it on Origin.
I know. And they've got Origin. Why aren't they doing it on Origin instead?
Because they still want to leech that money off of Steam, of course.
They do.
That's exactly why. EA, you know, somebody is going to buy out. I don't know if that's going to be good or bad for us, but you. Okay, so sharing quickly with our listeners out there that are still on the hunt for their dream job before I do my story, Blitz Game Studios is looking for the next generation of super programmer. They said, are you good enough? Somebody out there is nodding their head going, yeah, I am. Well, if you are, go ahead and pop over to Blitz Game Studios. Make sure I got the right URL, blitzgamestudios.com/careers, and go ahead and put in your bid. And if you are looking for any kind of gaming job, you can visit our job boards. I put a link in Twitter if you were paying attention. Go ahead and check them out. Lots of good jobs there for you programmers and other people that want to get into the gaming industry. And now, continuing the mudslinging.
Yay, this, mudslinging!
This comes from such an unusual source. Yeah, Shigeru Miyamoto from Nintendo is now doing a little bit of mudslinging at the PS Vita. You know?
Oh?
I'm shocked. Yeah. He says, looking at the PS Vita, he didn't see a strong product. He is the man who's behind Mario and doesn't think the hardware or the software for Sony's PlayStation Vita has been strong at all. He says it's obviously a very high-spec machine, and you can do a lot of things with it, but I don't really see the combination of software and hardware that really makes it a strong product. This is what he told Edge at the Louvre Museum in Paris, where Nintendo was promoting its 3DS-powered visitor's guide. Remember we were talking about this last night, how powerful
yeah.
3DS is a superpower compared to the Vita, and I'm not a Nintendo fangirl. I just give credit where credit is due. If the Vita was badass, I'd say it.
Yeah.
The Vita, of course, sold 325,000 units at launch in Japan, but it has seen serious sales slump in the land of the rising sun, where Sony's older PSP platform has regularly outsold its its new kid on the block, the Vita. And the Nintendo 3DS, on the flip side, has been killing the competition. In fact, the 3DS has been Japan's best-selling hardware system every single week since last August's price cut. The bottom line for Vita is that it needs more system-selling games. That was the biggest problem for the 3DS initially, and since then Nintendo has obviously addressed that issue. According to GI.biz this morning, Miyamoto said, when we launched the 3DS hardware, we didn't have Super Mario 3D Land. We didn't have Mario Kart 7. We didn't have Kid Icarus Uprising. We were striving to have all of these ready for launch, but we weren't able to deliver them at that time. He says, we're kind of hoping that people would nevertheless buy into the product, find 3DS hardware promising, but looking back, we have to say that we realized the key software was missing when we launched the hardware. Vita is a platform full of potential, he said, but Sony has yet to realize that potential. Okay, Miyamoto, no mudslinging. Just let your console speak for itself. We here harbor no ill will against any game platform. Any game platform I get a hold of is a good game platform. I have held the Vita, and the graphics on it, if you are a graphics beep, we can't say that during the day, that WH word, are absolutely beautiful. I looked at Uncharted, and I have to say I was completely blown away. It's beautiful to play. It looks just as good as it does on the big screen. But power-wise, 3DS has got them beat. How many times have you heard them pulling out a Vita, or a PSP for that matter, saying it's using a visitor's guide for the Louvre? Think about this. Wow.
I know. That is crazy. That is amazing.
Yeah, so it is super, super powered compared to a lot of handhelds, and you have to sometimes drop your fangirl and fanboyism and just say, you know what, this is a really superior machine. I just want to play anything. You can put a Vita in my hands. I'm still going to tell you the 3DS is more powerful, but don't mean I'm not going to play with the Vita, with my castanets and everything. I'll even get dressed up in the costume. Click, click, click.
In your castanets and everything.
That's right. My little, you know, the little thing they put in their hair with the veil on it, I'll have the whole nine, the shoes and the dress, and I'll whip it around with the Vita in my other hand. Yeah. Y'all think I'm joking. There's going to be a picture show up in this next year of me dressed in some kind of costume holding a console, and I'll be out in the yard mowing the lawn. with my console in my other hand, watching C. It's coming.
Wow. All right. So what have I got?
Just like, I'm not going to comment.
No.
It's not hard to call me crazy. I love my game.
You are totally crazy. I love you, though. I love you're crazy.
I love my games. I will do anything for them.
Mm-hmm.
Is that right, Link? Hey, baby. Okay, anyway, go ahead.
You're so goofy. All right. EA calls on consumers to help improve Origin. EA's official blog is calling on all of Origin customers to let them know what you love or hate about the digital distribution platform. Oh, really? You want a list? I can give you a list.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, either in the comment sections of this blog post, which is over at EA.com, or as part of a special chat scheduled for May 8th. EA admits that Origin has not been as well received as they would have liked and that the problem has its fair share, or platform has its fair share of problems. But the blog post shows that the company is at least trying to make an effort to listen to consumers, many of which are locked into using the platform if they want to play many of EA's multiplayer-enabled games.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so what it says.
Not just multiplayer, but The Sims, too.
I know, right? They say
well,
you have
Sims is multiplayer now. I forgot, Sims is multiplayer now
is
in
it?
A weird way, so I guess. Cool.
Yeah. Well, they say you have a unique opportunity to engage us in conversation and help shape the future of Origin. That's why we'd like to ask you to use to take a moment and leave a comment about your favorite Origin feature and, two, a feature you'd like to see added or improved upon. We will also be hosting a live Q&A with Origin creator, Creative Director Robert Kissinger and Product Manager Michael Lewis this Tuesday, May 8th at 10 a.m. PST. Check back soon for more information and instructions on how to RSVP for this special event. Yeah, like I said, that's over at EA.com, so if you want to check that out, go over there and tell them, stop spying on us! That's the main thing that irritates me. You know, the other stuff irritates me too, but the main thing that irritates me is that when you sign up for Origin, you tell them pretty much you can look at whatever you want on my computer and I can't say a thing about it. And we're not talking just your games. We're talking pictures, photos, documents, your anything, anything and everything. Your browsing habits, all of that.
I don't particularly like that either. Again, if you didn't listen to our show last night, hopefully you can hear us okay. We were talking about CISPA. And actually, Blaster is right. I managed to do a little bit of research. So there is, the president does have some veto power, which means we have some power. So you guys need to – you may hate Obama. You love him. Don't really matter to me. I doubt that this particular little issue will come up on the ballot, but threaten a few people. And I don't mean threaten like you're going to physical harm them. Threaten your congressman, if you don't drop this, we are not voting for you. It is that simple. I may not have been voting for you before, but I'm definitely not voting for you now. I may have even agreed with you on some issues, but this one right here, we don't need people all up in our computer. My privacy is my privacy. That's it, plain and
exactly.
simple.
Exactly.
Not be able to do
it's my
that.
Privacy. It's my privacy. I don't want you to see my midget porn.
Yeah, exactly. So, Origin, you need to take a look at that, and the rest of you be aware of CISPA, because CISPA is pretty much what Origin has done. And the reason they're able to do it is because CISPA's in place without any type of repercussions. So if you got to, make threaten your congressman, and go ahead and tell EA, look, you don't stop this, I'm going to have to stop playing your games. I know some of you hands started shaking when I said that. I can't not play my Sims. I can't not play Battlefield. You don't have to not do it. Just threaten. Threat goes a long way. I think this is disgusting. EA, I think they may have something with Origin. I'm not saying, you know, Steam shouldn't have any competition. Just don't force everybody to do it. Make it an option. Or if you're going to do it, say, you know what, if you use Origin to get this game, we'll give you $10 off this game. Or, you know, free guide. Give me some reason to why I want to keep Origin. I mean,
yeah,
they did
exactly.
an excellent job with the multiplayer for The Sims. It is, I've said it before, it's actually excellently done that allows you to play with other people. Great, and it is mostly through, well, not mostly through Origin. It's mostly in the game. It's kind of seamless. You don't really notice it, but it is, you have to have Origin. But just don't force me to have to do it. Why can't I, you know, have my own way? I'm not trying
exactly.
to reverse engineer your software. I just want to play my own way. I'm not doing anything. I understand you say, you know, don't alter The Sims. It's ours, and if you do it, we can take money from you if you use our tools. That's different. But I'm saying I just want to play. I bought it, and I want to play it this way, and you're telling me I can't. And that's what I don't like. There you go.
Yeah.
Horace, you're hitting up on the story I'm just about to go into. Yeah, Pirate Bay is on. Well, I can't say it's no more. You know they're not going down without a fight.
No, they're not going to go down without a fight.
Yes, just today, Virgin Media has been the first to block Pirate Bay, according to GI.biz. Virgin Media is quoted as saying they pride themselves on being a responsible ISP and act under instruction of the court orders to block sites deemed by the courts to be infringing copyright, it said in an official statement. It said this occurs where websites are found to be operating unlawfully by facilitating access to copyright infringing material, and Virgin Media, along with other ISPs in the UK, they are required to block access to such sites. Sky, Everything Everywhere, TalkTalk, and O2 are still allowing users to access the Pirate Bay, but are expected to put their own blocks in place soon. In the meantime, traffic to the site has actually increased. A Pirate Bay insider told Torrent Freak that thanks to the High Court and the fact that the news was on the BBC, we had 12 million more visitors yesterday than we had ever before. Oh, he said, another thing that's good with the traffic surge is that we now have time to teach even more people how to circumvent Internet censorship. In fact, the site currently holds a message encouraging users to find a way around the blocks. And guess what, Court? You can't tell them not to. Wow. Let me just give you guys a little bit. This is actually an ad that I just ran across on GI.biz. If you are one of these people... over in the UK that is going to be accessing the site, be ready, because they're probably going to come after you. A good company or a good lawyer to have, they're called Perkins. Wait till it pops up again. Perkins Coie Knows Interactive Entertainment. Their legal counsel to interactive entertainment companies can probably refer you to a good lawyer. Just saying, be ready.
Mm-hmm.
good. Just be prepared. And good luck, you people in the UK, and we hope to be able to help you, because you know they're coming for our Pirate Bay next.
Yes.
But the comments are amazing. One of them is Kevin Clark Patterson, who lectures in game development at Lancaster Morecambe College. Yes, I'm quoting you. It says, censorship is not the answer, as this response from this article clearly shows. Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know.
This is not going to stop what you're trying to stop, people. This is not the way to go about it.
Mm-mm.
It just really
no.
Even if you manage to kill off Pirate Bay, another site's going to pop up. Somebody is making that site right now that's going to
exactly.
switch up just how
exactly.
it's done so that it doesn't fall within the scope of your banning. You're not going to get rid of it that easy. And it's not that I want it there. I'm just saying it's not going to be that easy. And you're punishing the rest of us.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and don't punish the rest of us. I don't want to be punished.
At least
not like that.
At least do it in a fun way. If you're going to punish me, make
Exactly. All right.
Bad.
I'm a good girl. I'm a good girl. I swear. I heard a song like that the other day. UCLA researchers use crowdsourced gaming to diagnose malaria. This is cool. I'm pulling this from GamePolitics.com. Researchers from the UCLA Henry Semulai School of Engineering and Applied Science and the David Geffen School of Medicine at UCLA worked together to create an online gaming system that uses players to help diagnose malaria. This is really kind of cool. In the game, players distinguish malaria-infected red blood cells from healthy red blood cells by viewing digital images obtained from microscopes. Researchers found that those players who would be considered non-experts, mostly consisting of undergraduate student volunteers, were able to diagnose malaria-infected red blood cells with an accuracy that was within 1.25% of the diagnostic decisions made by a trained medical professional. The game, which was designed for use on cell phones and a PC, can be played by anyone anywhere in the world. The idea is if you carefully combine the decisions of people, even non-experts, they become very competitive, says Adogan Ozkin, an associate professor of electrical engineering and bioengineering and the corresponding author of the crowdsourcing research. Also, if you just look at one person's response, it may be okay, but that one person will inevitably make some mistakes. But if you combine 10 or 20, maybe 50 non-expert gamers together, you improve your accuracy greatly in terms of analysis. UCLA researchers say that crowdsourcing has the potential to overcome limitations in the diagnosis of malaria, which affects an estimated 210 million people worldwide annually. Malaria accounts for 20% of all childhood deaths in sub-Saharan Africa and is the cause of 40% of hospitalizations throughout Africa. Currently, the best method for malaria diagnosis involves a trained pathologist using a conventional light microscope to view images of cells and count the number of malaria-causing parasites. Because the process is time-consuming and because there are so many cases of it, crowdsourcing can help speed up the process, in turn saving lives. Crowdsourcing can also help health professionals avoid false positives, which lead to unnecessary treatments and hospitalizations. This is awesome. All right, so if you want to learn more about this, you can head over to ucla.edu. This is really, really kind of neat. And, you know, if they're using this for malaria,
like
maybe they can use this for other diseases.
Yeah, kind of like what we had with the foldit and the AIDS thing. Was it AIDS or cancer? I can't remember if it was AIDS or cancer.
I think they did one for each.
Yeah.
Because there was one for cancer and there was one for AIDS. So I don't
very,
remember.
Very, very good.
Either way,
it's
awesome.
Very,
yeah.
All right, well, the Red Army cometh, in case you were not aware, today. Deep Silver and X1 Software today reveal parts of the Red Army's arsenal in Iron Fist Liberation 1944. In the upcoming tactical shooter, several realistic weapons, aircraft, and vehicles are placed at the disposal of the Russian soldiers. Part of the asset collection is, for example, the Ice of Stalin 2 tank, an improved version of the Ice of Stalin. It was equipped with thick armor and a long 122-millimeter gun that was capable of defeating the German Tiger and Panther tanks. It was used in the Red Army from April 1944 and played a significant role in the last fights of World War II. Also, parts of the Russian arsenal are, amongst others, the Soviet medium tank T-34 and the Katyusha rocket launcher and bomber aircraft Petyakov PE-2. Got to work on my German. More information, or Russian. More information about the equipment of the Wehrmacht will follow soon. Iron Fist Liberation 1944 will be available exclusively on the PC for on May 25th, actually, 2012. You know what I found out that just creeps me out? Do you know who Do you know who I share a birthday with?
Who?
Adolf Hitler. Yes!
That would freak me out, too.
Ah! I went to read that the other day and went, oh, hell no! To tone down my crazy. Oh, hope that's not catchy. It has nothing to do with the date of birth. Anyway, you can read more about Iron Front Liberation 1944 at our website. Yeah, that site there. That one there. Click it, click it. Give me nature. Do it. You know you want to read about it. You do.
Are you sure?
Okay. Yes. Back to you, Ginger.
All right, that's me. All right, you were breaking up there for just a second.
I was. That's scary. See? Freaking somebody's in trouble.
Mm-hmm. All right. Sandra Day O'Connor's County's Work game launches. The nonprofit started by retired Supreme Court Justice Sandra Day O'Connor has launched an online game to teach children about their local government. O'Connor is spending her time in retirement pushing the idea that children and Americans in general need to learn more about their state, local, and federal governments. The game is called County's Work and was put together by O'Connor's group, IVE Civics, and the National Association of Counties. The game, similar to SimCity, puts players in charge of their own virtual county government, allowing them to set sales and property tax rates and manage the revenue to build roads or provide social services. The game also lets players deal with the concerns of their virtual citizens by either pointing them towards an available government agency or spending resources to create new programs that deal with problems or are recommended by citizens. Players will also have to deal with the occasional disaster or crisis. The game won the American Society of Association Executives, ASAE, 2012 Gold Circle Award for Innovative Communications. The award will be presented in Washington on May 24th. And sorry for the stuttering, whoever wrote this needs to be slapped. Seriously.
That's not good.
No, no. A
All
and
right.
A are not the same word and should not be used as the same.
This is true. Well, got some bad news for you who love to get your tech news or some of your tech news from the Huffington Post. Hopefully you get some of it from us. Ms. Arianna Huffington is no longer in charge of all the AOL content on the Huffington Post. Arianna Huffington is taking a step back from her role of directing all content across the tech media company AOL. This is a report from the Wall Street Journal. Huffington became editor-in-chief of all AOL media properties in February 2011 after her Huffington Post news site was purchased by AOL for $315 million, and that is why we have not accepted offers to buy us. It has not been for millions, but we'd be like, no. You can stay, because you know what happens? They end up getting rid of you. Since then, many leaders at AOL's other publications have expressed negativity for working under her, often leading to talent departures. Engadget, TechCrunch, and Joystick are among the publications with the heaviest talent losses. She said, what I ask for is for us to be more independent, to have technology, marketing, and business development now into Huffington Post so that we can accelerate all our growth. And for me to be freed up to just concentrate exclusively on HuffPost, Huffington said during a startup event yesterday. While Huffington frames the charges to her authority, frames the changes to her authority to something she asked for, some have speculated that it was part of an overlaying rift between herself and AOL Chief Executive Tim Armstrong, something that she vehemently denies. Venture Beat is reporting that Huffington's new role is said to focus her efforts on growing the HuffPost's international expansion as well as furthering the publication's push to transform into an internet TV network. You know, I have no idea what's going on with that. I do know that as a woman, when this type of things happen, when the woman is being hard on people, they always want to go.
Mm-hmm.
When it's a guy, they're like, he's mean, but they never leave. Some of you out there have trouble working with a woman. I know in this day and age you say you don't, but you react differently. Case in point, we've had a couple people come through here that have made some unsavory comments you would never say to a man, and not just because he didn't have a uterus, but because you thought it was okay. So some of you out there need to get over your thing of working for a woman. She's still a human being. You just understand if she's being hard on you, imagine if she was a man, and if you would still leave, because it's too harsh, then you go ahead and leave. But don't get all, well, you know, she's being mean. She's being mean. No. She's doing her job.
No. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Exactly. Yeah, and we have run into that a couple of times with people, and I don't understand
that.
It is totally crazy.
I have no idea what, like I said, what was said, but I'm speculating from what was said here is very vague. What was said here, it wasn't that she was working them several hours and they were, you know, dropping dead of exhaustion or anything like that. It was, we don't like the way she's running things, so we're leaving. Which is, again, if it was Donald Trump and he was doing the same thing, you'd be like, well, it's Donald Trump. You know, he knows what he's doing. Apparently, so does she. She's able to sell a company she created for $315 million. A lot of you can't sell.
That is always nice.
That is nice. But this is why we will not be selling. We will be keeping this.
Yes.
Yeah, well, look, and then next week I'm going to call Ginger. Look here. This German company. I'm out. I'm out. But like, wait, you said. I'm sorry.
Wait a minute.
Be out.
It better be a nice paycheck, all I got to say.
It would.
All right.
What you got,
Virginia.
What you got?
What do I got? What do I got? I got gang recruitment within games, apparently. Virginia Attorney General and George Mason University team up to fight gang recruitment with games.
I don't think so.
Virginia Attorney General Ken Cusinelli and George Mason University President Alan Merton announced the creation of a series of interactive and educational computer and mobile phone game applications that teach youngsters about the risks and consequences of joining gangs. The goal of these programs is easy enough to slow down gang recruitment levels in the state. During the spring semester, GMU students used their programming skills and tapped into the Attorney General's office information of gangs to create several games and apps. Gangs are constantly working to recruit new kids to replace those going to jail and getting killed. Their recruitment techniques are evolving, even to the point of using online gaming and other technologies. We have to work even harder to stop them. The goal of this partnership with GMU is a novel approach in the war against gangs to beat them at their own game. These mobile games serve as a cutting-edge educational tool to teach kids that if they join gangs, there are no winners. ending up in the hospital, jail, or the morgue means game over. The majority of these titles are simple, choose-your-own-adventure games designed to target middle and high school students. They present a number of possible situations students might encounter in real life. The games will be available for mobile download free of charge sometime this summer. Three games were demonstrated at a news conference today, A Second Family, Influenced, and New Kid on the Block. A Second Family was created by Michael Katz, Romel Ramos, and Brandon Miller. The game tells the story of Justin, who is trying to fit in at a new school and becomes involved with some questionable people. Influence was created by Austin Fain, Tiffany Nguyen, Khan San, and Lamisha Coley. In this game, the player chooses various scenarios in which he or she can either help or betray members of the community, influencing the impact gangs have on the community. And then New Kid on the Block was created by Stephen Berrigan, Stephen Fernandez, Devin Gibson, John Murphy, and Daniel Paquette. In this game, the player gets has just moved to a new town and is forced with... Let me go back. The player has just moved to a new town and is faced with fitting into a new school. He or she must make the right decisions to find a trustworthy group of friends. A.G. Cusinelli says, "This is just the beginning for us. We hope to partner with George Mason University in the future to create games for bullying, internet safety, and other critical public safety issues involving young people." All right.
Very nice.
My thoughts on this is this is a good it's good intentions, a good idea. I am just afraid that the target audience you're looking for is not playing games, are not playing games. They are not playing games on a cell phone. They're not really going to be downloading games to a console. They're probably not going to be playing games on a PC. The kids who get drawn into this do it because a lot of times they don't have a family, they don't have a life, that whole kind of thing. So most of the kids that I knew that got into gangs wouldn't have owned a PC. They might have had a cell phone, but they wouldn't have had the money to download games onto it.
Probably the best way to do this is kind of a preventative measure. It means it needs to be in school from kindergarten.
It needs to be
a kindergarten. You need to get with the educators. You need a room where you got a programmer, you got the designer, and you got a teacher in the room. And you all need to work together.
Because you're aiming this at high school and middle school kids, and by then they've already been...
It's too late.
It's too late. They've already grown up in this environment.
Yeah, so it's way too late. We got like 3 minutes, so I'm going to run this one down real quick. Call of Duty Black Ops 2 pre-orders for the first day after the announcement of the game have beaten first-day pre-orders of Call of Duty Modern Warfare 3. Black Ops 2 has beaten Modern Warfare 3's pre-orders on Amazon by about 30%. Ouch. That's saying a lot, since Modern Warfare 3 was the fastest-selling game in history when it went on sale last November, eclipsing sales of the previous record-setter Call of Duty Black Ops from 2010. Modern Warfare 3 currently holds the record for the most pre-ordered game of all time and was among the top 20 pre-orders ever on Amazon.com. Modern Warfare sold more than $1 billion worth of games since its debut. The new game will be released November 13th of this year. Pre-orders are now being activated on Activision, Steam, Amazon, Best Buy, GameStop, and Target for $59.99. Guess what, Origin? You left out in the cold because you're fighting with Steam. Shame. Anyway, good luck to those of you who will be picking that up. I may go grab a red box in November. Who knows? I may actually grab it. I doubt it. I'm not a... I'm going to grab the whole red box. Just grab the whole one and put it in the back of my truck and just drive off.
Yeah.
There you go. All right. Well, guys, it is time for us to say goodbye. We do love you dearly and deeply and madly, but we must go. You know where to find us, GamerNatrix.com, GamerGirlsRadio.com, Blog Talk, whenever you can hear us, that is. And, of course, we are always available on Twitter for some reason these days. I don't know what our obsession is, but we're all on Twitter. Even Snow has been tweeting a lot.
I know.
All right. Give y'all a little date, my avatar, in honor of Felicia Day. I was going to play Walking on Sunshine, but I couldn't find it this morning. If you haven't checked her out on Supernatural from last Friday, you really should. Better yet, Monday, if we can get a hold of the Telltale people, we'll see if we can get you a code for Walking Dead. But you have to tell me what she said was upon her when she got called into her boss's office. How about that? Tweet that right after midnight on Sunday, and you get the Walking Dead if we can get them to give us a copy. Holla! So many animations I can do.
later, boys and girls. Mwah! Have a great weekend.
You can type commands.